أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We appreciate your presence at the Mazar of Imam Hussain. May Allah bless you all, inshaAllah. As usual, inshaAllah, we're going to start the program with Quran recitation. After that, inshaAllah, we have Brother Abbas, one of the young members of our community, inshaAllah, to do a little piece for us, part poetry, part story, as he told me. And then, inshaAllah, after that, we'll have this a quick question-answer session, as we did last night, inshaAllah. After that, inshaAllah, we'll have a speech by Maulana Atta Mahdi, inshaAllah. And after that, we'll have Mas'ab in English. The request, again, we understand there's a lot of noise coming from other majalis. We apologize for that. We hope that you're able to listen to the speech and give your attention to our speaker. The request, again, is to please remain quiet. If you need to catch some air, you can go ahead and use the restroom. As you know, it's to your right side. But try to reduce that as much as you can. And also, again, try to stay away from your phones and give your attention to Imam Hussain, inshallah. Other thing that was requested by brothers for me to mention is that when we start the Mas'ab of Imam Hussain in English, I understand that some of you might want to go to the other halls for majalis in different languages. But the problem with that is once you do that, it interrupts the program. It is, I don't want to say disrespectful, but it's not respectful either. So if you would remain, inshallah, in the hall. Usually our English session is very short for Masai, so if you just bear with us, we'll really appreciate it. But you getting up and leaving when you go into the halls, other programs also get disturbed, and so if you could please do that, we'll really appreciate it, inshallah. Inshallah, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. InshaAllah, since it's Muharram, let's just write one strong salawat all together, inshaAllah. Allahumma shaAllah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful. when the earth is rocked with a terrible quake, and the earth discharges her burdens, and man says, what is the matter with her? On that day she will relate her chronicles, for her Lord will have inspired her. On that day mankind will issue forth in various groups to be shown their deeds. So whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it, and whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it. صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد. Again, also one more thing, if you could slowly move forward. I see the crowd coming in. We understand it's kind of uncomfortable to keep on asking you to do this, but we really appreciate that, inshallah. And now, without further ado, I'd like to ask our dear brother, Brother Abbas, to come up here, please. Invite him, Allah, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Oh, yes. Huh? Huh? It was hot and blistering, which made the sand glisten in the heat of Karbala. Eliezer was crying at first. Imam Hussein asked the heartless and greedy soldiers for a drop of water for a parched baby. Before their hardened hearts could have human feelings again, an archer, greedy for a reward, shot Eliezer to a soft throat. Imam Hussein cried and cried with dying Eliezer in his hands. Finally, Imam Hussein, grief struck, buried Eliezer on the hot field of Karbala. There you go. Salawat.
JazakAllah khair, Brother Abbas. Allah bless you. We really appreciate the young members of our community being a part of our programs. We encourage other members, inshallah, the young members, to also prepare any piece of poetry, anything that they have, inshallah, and share with them. Now, without further ado, I'd like to invite Mawlana Al-Mahdi up here. Please, in the name of Allah, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Begin in the name of Allah, the All Beneficent and All Merciful. Before we start our lecture here, I just thought that last night it worked out well the way we sort of asked our little brothers about what they are, you know, finding from what is being said here, and in a summary, or if there are any questions related to the topic of discussion that we are having. So we can spend another 5 to 7 minutes doing that, and then inshallah start our program. Recite a salawat. So any of the brothers or the sisters would like to have any comments, questions? Go ahead. Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it's the property of our soul, not the property of our body. And because our soul is limited, unlimited, because it is mujarrad, it is immaterial, therefore any property that belongs to the soul is also immaterial. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. Well, mashallah, mashallah, I'm so glad. Anybody else? So what did we talk about yesterday? Can anybody, you want to say? Okay. But we talked some specific things yesterday, you know. Anybody else? You want to say anything? Because we are investing so much time and energy in trying to learn, you know, from the Book of Allah and the sayings of Masumeen, so that we could use it in our, you know, daily lives, implement it in our lives. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, good job, MashaAllah. Anybody else? From the sister's side? I guess I can start early, if that's the case. But let us try to, you know, hold on, like the brother was advising. If there are masayib going on the next door, you know, if we are loud, that would disturb them after the majlis. Of course, you should go for matam. And I would like to see that. I'm seeing so many young people out here, and I would rather see more matam, you know, here also with nohas, and not only that we just learn what is to be said, but we have to repay by at least expressing our grief for Imam Hussein and the cause of Imam Hussein. And that grief itself instilled in our heart becomes nur, becomes light that enlightens us. So we need to do that. That's one of the inheritance that we receive from our elders, and we should continue that. Only the difference being that the language of the day is English, so we should do everything in English. You know, Muslims migrated from Arabia and Persia to India, and when they came in they had everything in Arabic and Farsi, but eventually everything turned into Urdu. So it's the same transformation going on over here. But we have to be more proactive to make it useful and also, you know, learn from it. Please recite a salawat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوث الفتن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نات موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فترى الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته اللهم أف صلة سلواتك وسلامة تسليماتك على أول التعينات المفازة من العماء رباني وآخر التنزلات المزافة إلى نوع الإنساني كان الله ولم يكن معه شيء ثاني محسي لعظالم حضرات الخمس في وجوده وكل شيء احسيناه في امام المبين الرسول النبي المكي القرشي التهامي صاحب لواء الحام ومقام المحمود ابي القاسم محمد بن الحميد. وعلى أخيه وابن عمه وخليفته من بعده وسهره وقائد الغر المحجلين يا سب الدين إمام المتقين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب. اللهم صل على وعلى ابنته الطاهرة الحوراء العنسية الراضية المرضية الشفية يوم الجزاء فاطمة الزهراء سلام الله عليها وعلى سبتي رحمة وسيد شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين محمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد وحسن بن علي وحجة القائم المنتظر المهدي اللهم صل على محمد وعلى حججك على عبادك وعمنائك في بلادك اللهم سهل منحجهم وعجل في فرجهم وجعلنا من محبيهم ومواليهم وشيعتهم ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I begin in the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent and All-Merciful. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He had granted us this tawfiq that we are commemorating the martyrdom of the leaders of the martyrs. And not only the leaders of the martyrs, but the leader or the of the youth of the paradise, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And this is a great opportunity for us to reflect upon what we have been doing and where we have come from and where we are progressing in life. If we could stop for a moment and think what is up with our lives, what are we doing that is cherishing, that is a means of gratification for us, and those that gratification that we are attaining, is that gratification a true gratification that is leading us towards sa'ada, that is leading us towards felicity, that is leading us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that gratification is mere collection of material things from the life of this world that we are gaining day in and day out. And if we are only gaining material things from the life of this world, since this world is perishable, those things that they are part of you because you have acquired it with all your energy and all your effort will also perish. They are not going to last. And since they are not going to last, or they will overtake you or you will overtake them. If you overtake them, meaning that death approaches you before these things can get away from you, then you will realize that you have strived so hard for nothing, because you have to leave all this that you have and go to the other world, which does not require the currency that is run here, nor the material things that are used in this world. And you are going alone by yourself. So meaning that we have to understand the true reason of our existence. What are those things that are highly essential for us in this life and also in the hereafter? And even without our knowing, or even just because we thought that everything is going to be great for the rest of our lives, we realize that we came up with isms, all kinds of isms every day, and those isms looks like the greatest and the latest isms of the time, but the time is a witness that they fall on their face over the period of time. Communism had huge claims of justice and equality, But what had happened to communism, it took 70 years for communism to fall on its own face, because it was contradicting with its own self. And similarly, we see that capitalism, which only means that survival of the fittest, meaning that only those who are fit can survive, this theory has made people run into this rat race of life where they invested every moment of their time to attain what they could out of this, only to find out that all their savings have been evaporated. They were saving for years and years in their 401k plans, in their saving accounts, in the stock market, and suddenly they realized that everything that they saved for and worked hard for because they wanted a secured retirement has already gone. It's all evaporated because the market crashed and everything is gone. So we have this intrinsic desire to secure ourselves and to perfect ourselves, which drives us into doing these things. But the only problem with us is that we choose the wrong object of love. We are doing a good job thinking ahead in life. We have to save for retirement. We have to do this and we have to do that. But if the life of this world is only 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and we are planning it and we are investing our youth into professions that would lead us towards the life that would be more secured because we are professionals and we learn all these skills, then why can't we think about the life of the hereafter? Why can't we think about hereafter exactly like this? Because hereafter is far more lasting and it is everlasting and it is there for, you know, years which cannot be counted, because this earth and the concept of time will go away when we die, because we are in the immaterial world where there is no notion or concept of time and space. And if we truly invest, then at the end of our life we will be satisfied. We will be looking forward to the journey that we are going to take or we are going to embark, because we have invested our time and we did our best to move into that direction. But if we have not done anything, then it will make us feel hopeless. It will make us feel that we are going from a place where there is comfort of every kind into a place which we hate, which we don't want to go, because we don't know what is out there. The one of the causes of fear, my dear brothers and sisters, is the fear of unknown. If you don't know what is out there, that is something that, you know, instills fear in our hearts. But if we know where we are going, or what is that object which we are trying to achieve, then we will not have fear. So I have to tell my young brothers who are here that you cannot put this thing away, your religion, for X number of years for later in life. You have to learn as you go, move forward in life, because it's a long process. And if you don't learn, it is not going to come automatically. And also it's the same advice I would give to my sisters here and the parents especially, that you cannot expect to trample everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked you to do and then somehow expect good results in the end. And also then when it doesn't happen, we start blaming Allah for that. We say, you know, I did everything right. I was a nice parent. I did, you know, I brought food on the table. I made sure my children go to the best schools. We moved into areas where there are better schools only because we wanted our children to go to better schools so they could have a better future. But if you did not invest in the better future in the hereafter on your children, then you're not going to gain anything out of them. And they would also walk and talk capitalism. And capitalism might be looking as a very, you know, attractive deal. Even now, in there are other parts of the world, they are totally, you know, submerged into this passion for capitalism. But we living here, we are feeling the heat of capitalism, because the institutions that we trusted that they would protect us completely deceived us by making all these false, you know, bubbles that were created into the economy, into the financial system, that became a root cause of misery of millions and millions of innocent people in this country. And there are only few people who really made lots and lots of money fooling the system, or, you know, getting into the system through the holes of the system. So let us make this opportunity and contemplate. And the object of our contemplation itself was love, the subject that we have been talking about, that love is the fundamental source which drived or which brought this cosmos into existence by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Hadith-e Qudsi says, Kuntu kanzan makfiya, I was a hidden treasure and I loved to be known, so I have created everything so that they could know me. So it is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself for himself that initiated the existence or the creation. And we are part of that creation. And since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, we are also perfect in terms of what Allah has created. But we have not ripened our potential. The difference is, if you sow a seed into the ground, if all the conditions are conducive for that seed to come and become a tree, then the seed will come out and it would become a tree. But if the tree is too small, it's an apple tree, or it's, you know, a tree of other fruits, when you see that tree being very small, you would not expect fruits from it. If somebody says, you know, this is an apple tree, this tree should, you know, give the fruits, why isn't it giving us fruits? Then we have to say to those people, the tree is just coming up. It's still a small plant. There is a process through which it has to go through, after which it attains a certain level of perfection, after which it starts giving fruits. Similarly, we have this immense potential within us that Allah has granted us when we were born. But if the, exactly like the tree, if the tree is watered properly, if the tree is given fertilizers properly, if the tree is gets the pesticides, so there are no attacks of all kinds of, you know, insects that would destroy this tree, and if the tree is getting sun, there are so many factors that have to be in place, and not only for a moment, but for a long duration of time, after which the tree starts to give fruits. Exactly like that, my dear brothers and sisters, our soul is like that. We have the potential to reach the divine skies. Our soul has that potential. But it needs proper training. It needs proper motivation and inspiration that takes us into the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do not provide the fertilizer or the spiritual nourishment to our soul, which is absolutely necessary for us to nourish and grow, then it is not going to happen that in the end of our life suddenly we will be very good Muslims, you know. It's not going to happen. It's the same process. It is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants potential And that potential comes to its fruition over a period of time when the conditions around it are conducive. If we do not make conditions around us to be conducive, to be good, such that exactly like a tree is being, you know, watered, exactly like the tree is getting sunlight, exactly like the tree is getting all kinds of fertilizers and pesticides and protection from the foreign attack, exactly like that our soul needs protection, nourishment, and all kinds of vitamins, like our body needs vitamin A, B, C, whatever you name them, and there are a whole range of vitamins. This vitamin would do that, and that vitamin would do that. Exactly like that, our soul needs the vitamins of spirituality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that. And when we attain that level of spirituality, like I have mentioned in another hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if my servant seeks me with supererogatory prayers, with mustahab prayers, up to an extent that I start loving him. And if I start loving him, I become his eyes with which he would see. I would become his hands with which he would act. I would become his feet with which he is going to walk. I would become his hearing with which he is going to hear. Meaning that the veils of darkness are withdrawn from us, and our ruh and our soul is nourishing and getting to the higher levels of ma'rifah and the knowledge of not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also of everything that is around us. And for that we need to spend time, contemplation, and think, and then move forward. It is not going to help us if we just make a habit of performing acts of worship and we think, you know, in 2 minutes I'm going to just do this and go back and watch my football or watch my basketball or watch my whatever game you watch. And your salat is like, you know, it's like express train basically, you know. Even before the mother realizes that my son is praying, she realizes that he's already done, you know. So this is not going to help us. We are invited, we are guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity with which we are communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are standing up in prayer and asking Allah for help while bowing and while going into sujood and while doing all the azkar and the zikr that we are performing in salat. And if we do not have that patience of contemplating and being patient with ourselves and doing these acts of worship, then they become merely, you know, habit, which is not going to impact our spirit, which is not going to change our heart. That is why you see people who, in their apparent appearance, who when you see them in their zahir, they look very pious, but their hearts are darkened, their hearts are calcified with kufr, their hearts are calcified with greed, because they do not understand the reason why they are worshipping. And the fundamental reason why we worship is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we understand that, and as I have been mentioning, as this love descends in the order that has been mentioned here in the past, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires us and moves us and drives us towards following the Prophet of Allah. Because the verse of Quran says, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If that love is driving us towards following the Prophet of Allah, then that love is a true love. Otherwise, that love is only a claim which cannot be proven by our actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is mentioning, if you love, O my Prophet, tell these people, if they love me, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they should follow the Prophet of Allah. And then yesterday we mentioned the verse of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying, أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O Prophet, tell them that they follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they follow His Prophet, meaning Rasulullah, and they follow those who are vested with authority. أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. And we have discussed in detail who is أُولِي الْأَمْرِ and how Ati'ullah equates, following of Allah equates to following of the Prophet of Allah, and that equates to the following of those who are vested in authority. And this was the claim that since they are all in parallel, or they are serial, I would say rather, Ati'ullah, Ati'ur Rasul, and Ulil Amr Minkum, that means that since Allah is perfect, He is ordering that you follow me who is perfect and then my Rasul, my Prophet who is perfect. So therefore, then after the Prophet of Allah, someone who we are supposed to follow cannot be a person who is fallible, who can make mistakes like us. If this Ulil Amr would have been somebody like us who was fallible, then it would mean that Allah Himself is asking us to follow someone who can make mistakes, and thereby Allah is misguiding us. Please recite a salawat and please come forward while reciting the salawat. Loud salawat please. One more salawat, brother. Please try your best so that people who are coming later can, you know, be in the end, inshallah. Another loud salawat, please. So, Ulul Amr cannot be fallible. Or if Ulul Amr is also like us, then after we follow the Prophet of Allah, if we go under the guardianship of Ulul Amr and follow them, and if they can make mistakes, then they will be themselves misguided and we will be misguided on account of them. And that would be out of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is all perfect, to drag us into a direction which would lead us into misguidance. And therefore it is absolutely necessary that Ulil Amr, those who are vested with authority, have to be infallible. They have to be masoom. Please say the salawat. Thank you. So this was the topic, and we are going to move forward in the same direction, and I'm sure by now you might have had the grasp of what I'm trying to come to, but let me reassure you and let me tell you that we are trying to use all these principles to implement into our lives. And if we have to find how we can redirect ourselves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reform ourselves, and ensure that by reforming our souls, we are traversing or we are moving in the direction which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make us accountable of anything without giving us opportunity and the means. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exactly done that by appointing His Prophet, and after the Prophet, His people who are vested with authority, who are infallible, masumeen, alayhi salatu wassalam, our imams. Please say the salawat. Also, what I wanted to talk about is a riwayah, a hadith from Usul-e-Kafi, from the chapter Bab-e-Fariza Tuta'atil A'imma, It's the chapter which deals with the obedience or following of our imams. And the hadith is narrated from Muhammad ibn al-Fuzail. Fuzail is the narrator who is narrating this hadith. قَالَ سَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَفْزَلُ That I asked Afzal, مَا يَتَقَرَّبُ بِهِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ Fuzail asks the Imam, what is the best way for those slaves to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قال الأفضل ما يتقرب به العباد The best means of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His servants, for His creation is إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ تَاعَةُ اللَّهِ is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَتَاعَةُ رَسُولِهِ and the obedience and following of the Prophet of Allah وَتَاعَةُ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ and the obedience of أُولِي الْأَمْرِ the obedience of those whom Allah has vested with authority those whom Allah has appointed as imams those who are infallible those who are imams then the Imam Baqir says قَالَ أَبُو جَعْفَرْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ حبنا إيمان وبغضنا كفر. Our love is إيمان. Our love is faith. The love for Ahlul Bayt is إيمان and the hatred for Ahlul Bayt is كفر. Is faithlessness. So this is what our fifth Imam is saying. What is the أفضل العمل? Which would become, what is the best act which would be a means of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also reinforces the same point that I have mentioned yesterday when I was talking about pointers and C programming. But just to simplify it, the Ahlul Bayt are Babullah. They are the doors to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to enter through Babullah, through the door of Allah. Because Ahlul Bayt has said, Nahnu Babullah, Nahnu Ayatullah. We are the signs of Allah. We are the doors to Allah. So when you enter or when you commit your allegiance to Ahlul Bayt or when you give your love for Ahlul Bayt, as a result, immediately they point you towards Allah. That is the means of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul Bayt do not want anything for themselves. All they are striving is for us to reach that direction or for us to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please recite the salawat. So the, another question that some people say, why Ulul Amr was not explicitly named? Why was the name of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Ahlul Bayt did not come into the Quran? To that argument, ulama say that, you know, first of all, there are many references in the Quran which explicitly defines the traits of a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be our guardian after the Prophet of Allah. And I have mentioned about Innama Waliyukumullah, the verse which I have mentioned 2 days ago about how our guardian is Allah and our guardian is Rasulullah and our guardian is one who has given zakat in his ruku while praying. And the only person who has done this in history during the life of Holy Prophet and the Holy Prophet pointed to him regardless of the sources whether they are Shia sources or Sunni sources refers to Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. Another very popular hadith which is again common between us and Ahl Sunnah مَثَلُ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي فِيكُمْ كمثل سفينة النور. The like of my Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet of Allah is saying, the like of my Ahlul Bayt is like the ship of Hazrat Nuh, the Ark of Noah. My Ahlul Bayt are like the Ark of Noah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was inflicting His azab, His curse on this earth, He ordered His Prophet Hazrat Nuh, Noah, to build an ark, and once that ark would be ready, he was assigned to take those people who had faith into that ark, and the rest would be drowned in the rain and the floods that would follow it. And when Hazrat Nuh was building this ark in the middle of in the land, people used to come and laugh at him, make fun of him, saying, you know, why are you making a ship on the ground? There is no sea, there is no water. And Noah would keep reminding them, look, this is going to happen, you know, straighten your act, get, you know, on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you don't do it, then you are going to suffer. But people did not heed to his advice. But eventually the ark was made and the floods came, and only those who came into that ark, they survived, and everybody else perished. And here the Prophet of Allah is saying that my Ahlul Bayt is like that of the Ark of Noah. So whoever comes to this ark, they are the only ones who are going to be saved, and everybody else would perish. And then the Prophet says, Man rakibaha najaha. Those who are going to mount, or those who are going to, you know, get into this ark, are the only ones who are going to be saved. وَمَنْ تَقَلَّفَ عَنْهَا غَرِقَ. And those who are going to deny and would not come into this ark, they will be drowned. Like the people who were drowned, he did not come to the ark of Hazrat Nuh. Please say the salawat. This was for the love of Ahlul Bayt. And like I have mentioned, our love for Ahlul Bayt is a means of attaining nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are the doors of Marifah through which we can understand Allah. And there is nobody else apart from the Prophet of Allah. And the history of Islam has time and time again shown this and had proven this to us. One incident that I'm going to mention now here is of the Battle of Khaybar. How many of you know the Battle of Khaybar? Can you raise your hands? Battle of Khaybar, kids? Okay. Battle of Khaybar was one of those provinces or places near Medina, I think. And it was a collection of about 40 fortresses. And when they broke all kinds of pacts that they had with the Prophet of Allah, there came a time when this place had to be, you know, consolidated into the territory of Medina. And the Prophet of Allah, along with his army, is at Khaybar. And they are there for about 40 days. And every day, one of the companions takes a contingent with him and tries to attack the fort and fails in, you know, succeeding by getting inside the fort. So what happens is, by this, it's about 40 days. Every day, group goes, and then they come back and they say, we are sorry, we were not able to successfully, you know, penetrate through the doors of Khaybar and attack the enemy. So there was a point where some of the so-called closer companions of the Prophet, they also made these attempts, because they were trying to be in the limelight to gain that credibility with which they could become caliphs afterwards, and they did. But they failed in this attack that they were supposed to make. So they go with their soldiers and the fighters, they go and they attack, but then they fail, they come back. And when they come back, they not only come back on their own and announces the failure to the Prophet of Allah, but they also fight amongst themselves. The soldiers would blame their leader, saying, you know, he did not do the right job, he did not direct us to the right places, so we failed. And the leader would, you know, blame the followers who were there to attack this fort, and they'll say, he will say that, you know, I told them to go there, this and that, they did not listen to me. So everybody was blaming everybody else, and it was becoming a very frustrating task for the Prophet of Allah. And Allah had already promised success to the Prophet of Allah, but the Prophet of Allah was making sure that everyone who was there makes an attempt to gain this fort of Khaybar, and they all fail. Then finally, the Prophet of Allah says, when they come back, he says, لَأُوْتِيَنَّ رَايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا. I am surely, surely, certainly going to give the flag of Islam, Raya is the flag of Islam, to a person tomorrow. What is the quality of that person? He says, يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. This is the person who loves Allah and His Prophet. Tomorrow I am going to give the standard of Islam to that person who loves Allah and His Prophet. The reason why I am mentioning is, we also need to have examples through which we can emulate the kind of love and commitment we should have, and that is only Ahlul Bayt. And I am giving you an example of Amirul Mumineen here. The Prophet of Allah is in Khaybar, and the army, Muslim army, has been disappointing the Prophet of Allah by not able to, crush this fort of Khaybar. And finally, the Prophet of Allah says, tomorrow, after 40 days, says, tomorrow I am going to hand over the leadership to a person who loves Allah and who loves His Prophet. وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And not only Allah, He loves Allah and He loves the Prophet of Allah, but Allah also loves him, and the Prophet of Allah also loves him. Now, Rasulullah is defining the traits of person in whose hand there is success of Islam. Then the Prophet of Allah says, لَيْسَ بِفَرَّارٍ. And he is not somebody who would run away. This person who loves Allah and His Prophet, and Allah loves him, and His Prophet loves him, is not a coward. He does not run away from battlefield. وَلَا يَرْجَعُ حَتَّى يَفْتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And he does not return unless and until Allah grants him success. So see, now here the Prophet of Allah wants his followers to know the quality and the traits of those people who love Allah and who love the Prophet of Allah, and not only that they love, but Allah also loves them, and the Prophet of Allah loves them, and these are the people who are not cowards, who do not run away from the challenges that they have in their life. So there is a lot to talk about here, but in the interest of time, I'm going to move, quicker than I would have done otherwise. So after saying this, the Prophet of Allah says, where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? So the companions, are wondering, why would Prophet of Allah call Ali ibn Abi Talib? Because he was sick. The Prophet of Allah was told that Ali is having an eye infection, and therefore he's not here. So the Prophet of Allah says, if that is the case, the Prophet of Allah commands Salman and Abu Zar, two of his companions, to go and seek Ali. So they go and they call Amir al-Mu'mineen. When the Imam comes, when they look at when the Prophet sees the Imam, he finds it that he is barely able to open his eyes. So the Prophet of Allah, what does he do? He places his hand on the eyes of Amir al-Mu'mineen and recites a dua. If you say a loud salawat, I will tell you what he says. The Prophet of Allah says, Allahumma azhib anhu al-harra wal-barda. O Allah, take away his ailments, the ailments of Imam Ali. وَانْصُرْهُ عَلَىٰ عَدُوِهِ, and help him, O Allah, against his enemy. فَإِنَّهُ عَبْدُكَ, because he is your slave, O Allah. He is your servant, O Allah. And then he says, وَيُحِبُّكَ, and he loves you, O Allah. وَيُحِبُّ رَسُولَكَ, he loves your prophet, O Allah. This is the dua of Rasulullah. Then the Prophet of Allah says, غَيْرَ فَرَّارٍ, and he is not one of those cowards who would run away. ثُمَّ دَفَى إِلَيْهِ الرَّايَةَ, and then the Prophet of Allah hands over this banner of Islam into the hands of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. So here, there are two instances where not only the Prophet of Allah is telling us that Ali loves Allah and his Prophet, but also the Prophet of Allah, who is masoom, who is infallible, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to follow him. It is the command of Allah, if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we follow the Prophet of Allah. This Prophet of Allah is guaranteeing that this person, Ali ibn Abi Talib, not only loves Allah and his Prophet, but Allah and his Prophet also love Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he is not one of those who would run away. He is not a coward. So one of the traits of those who love Allah is that they are not cowards, my dear brothers and sisters. If you feel that you want to take a flight from the challenges of life that life has offered you, then you are not one of those who love Allah. So let us ensure that we do not let that property or that trait come into our hearts. We are not cowards. We are brave because our source upon which we rely is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, if you look at from another angle, some of the ulama, especially I was mentioning this afternoon also, the argument that have been presented by one of our great scholars, Sayyid Murtaza, is that when somebody of this character traits and this property existed in between the Muslims during the life of the Prophet, can there anybody else be ulil amr? Can there anybody else be worthy of being the successor of the Prophet of Allah? And Sayyid Murtaza proves that no, nobody can be. Because this guarantee of love for Allah that has been given by the Prophet of Allah is only and only for Amirul Mu'mineen and nobody else. And then, he brings up examples and he says everybody who went and came back, to none of them the Prophet of Allah said that they love Allah and Allah loves them. It is only Imam Ali to whom the Prophet of Allah says Allah and his Prophet love Imam Ali, and Imam Ali loves Allah and his Prophet, but not to anybody else. And now if you look at the verse of Quran, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, those who have faith, they have ardent and intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the Prophet of Allah has not mentioned anybody else to love Allah, that means those people who went before and failed did not have the kind of love that the Prophet of Allah is mentioning and the verse of Quran is mentioning. Ashaddu hubban lillah. They have intense and ardent love for Allah. Okay? And then another verse of Quran he brings up and he says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. The verse we were mentioning from 2 days, where if you really love Allah, then follow me. So those who went and who came back complaining did not follow the Prophet of Allah. If they had loved Allah, then they would have followed the Prophet of Allah. And the result of following the Prophet of Allah would be that they would have either sacrifice their life for the sake of Islam or would have become victorious, but would not have run like cowards and come back towards the Prophet of Allah complaining that they were not successful because their companions didn't help, and you know, with all kinds of complaints that they had. So Sayyid Murtaza tries to prove here that those who went before did not possess this trait of Iman. If they had possessed that Iman, that strength of Iman, then they would have sacrificed their life or would have become victorious but would not have returned. Okay? Now here, another word he brings in is to show that they were not obedient to the Prophet of Allah, because Allah says if you love Allah then you have to follow the Prophet of Allah, because they came back. The Prophet of Allah had sent them to either succeed in this attack or don't come back. I mean, they were in a war zone. They cannot come back from war. So they were cowards. So they did not possess Iman and they were cowards. And then the Prophet of Allah, the verse of Quran also says, another verse of Quran says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُخَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those who fight in the way of Allah, in ranks. Indeed, Allah loves the penitent. Indeed, Allah loves those who seek forgiveness from Allah. And Allah loves those who are mutatahirin, meaning Allah loves those who have purified themselves. If these people, they claim superiority upon Imam Ali, then if they did not fight a war and they came back, then they neither are penitent, they did not seek forgiveness, and they are not from those who have been purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is not a single angle from which they possess any superiority to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And therefore they can never be superior to Ali ibn Abi Talib, thereby they cannot be the successors of the Prophet of Allah. And if anybody could be the successor of the Prophet of Allah, it is the personality of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. Please say the salawat. And then he comes up with an example and he says, if somebody wants to claim that they are, you know, muttaqeen, yuhibbullah, muttaqeen, and Allah, there are many verses of Quran, if I get a chance tomorrow I might touch upon that. But Allah loves muttaqeen, those who are God-worthy. Allah loves those who are patient, sabireen. Allah loves those who do not, do israf, who are not wasteful. Allah loves those who do justice. If these people possess these qualities, then Sayyid Murtaza brings an example and he says, if the king gives one of his one of his officials a letter that has to be delivered into a certain place, for example, to a different king or a different nation. And what happens is that person who has been appointed by the king to take this letter and to deliver that letter to the head of state of another nation, for example, he does not do that. Will the king be happy or will the king be furious? The king would be furious. So these people who went before Imam Ali, they were assigned a duty to ensure that they defeat the enemy. And if they have not defeated the enemy, and if they have come back with the same letter, the king is not going to be happy with them. So therefore, neither they are from those who are penitents, as they have not, they did not seek forgiveness from Allah, and nor they are purified. Whereas Amir al-Mu'mineen is someone whom the Prophet of Allah is saying, Allah loved him and his Prophet loved him, and therefore it is only and only Amir al-Mu'mineen who should be the successor of the Prophet of Islam. Please say the salawat. Karbala is a great lesson, my dear brothers and sisters. We have to ponder and contemplate on those who came in Karbala, starting from the Hujjatullah, the decisive proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning Imam Hussein, to his companions, to his children, even to the women, they are all means of inspiration, of strength, and of bravery, and of sacrifice for the sake of Allah. They had demonstrated, every one of them, that they were not cowards. They did not, run away from the challenges that the life had for them. And they were facing the challenges, and they were relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tonight we are going to mourn the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Al-Abbas. He is one who was somebody whom Amir al-Mu'mineen wanted all his life to have, because Amir al-Mu'mineen knew Karbala is going to happen, and Amir al-Mu'mineen wanted somebody to be the standard bearer of righteousness and Islam, like Amir al-Mu'mineen himself used to be alongside of the Prophet of Allah. Imam Ali wanted that when my son Hussein goes to the plains of Karbala, he should have a support like I was the support to the Prophet of Allah. And Abbas had a unique trait from which he is remembered. He is called Saqqai Haram. He is called Saqqai Ahl Bayt. He is the only one who could quench the thirst of Ahlul Bayt. He is the only one who could be the source of hope for Ahlul Bayt when the Ahlul Bayt are in hardship. When Abbas was born, Amir al-Mu'mineen cried, because Amir al-Mu'mineen was told by the Prophet of Allah what is going to transpire in the coming days. Not only during that time, but even when Abbas was very young and Amir al-Mu'mineen was taking his last breath, Amir al-Mu'mineen calls for Abbas and Imam Hussein and hands over Imam Hussein to his younger brother and says to Abbas, "O Abbas, be aware of Hussein. He is representative of Rasulullah and you are my representative." And Abbas is still young, and Abbas was seen as if Abbas was a shadow of Imam Hussein from his childhood, from his very young age. Abbas was always following Imam Hussein. He was intensely in love with Imam Hussein, and that love was shown by his obedience that he had for Imam Hussein. And Abbas would only see the face of Imam Hussein and would know what Imam wants. There is an incident which history recalls where Imam Hussein was thirsty, and even before Imam Hussein could say that I am thirsty, there was seen a small child who runs and he's holding a cup of water, and the water is is falling on the ground. And Imam Ali, when he sees this situation, Imam Ali starts crying, and the companions of Imam Ali says, "Oh Imam, you should be happy for the commitment and the love that these two brothers have for each other. Abbas is quenching the thirst of Hussein." But Imam Ali says, "You cannot see what I can see, what the future has for Abbas. This is the Abbas who is going to be in the plains of Karbala, and he will be trying to quench the thirst of not only Sayyid al-Shuhada Hussein, but of the children of Hussein, that Abbas would move his arm in the process of doing it." Karbala has arrived, my dear brother and sister. Tomorrow is going to be 9th of Muharram, and the camps of Imam Hussein, we can hear the sounds. If we can truly contemplate, we would hear the sounds of children. Al-Atash, Al-Atash, O-Tash, O-Tash. The children of Imam Hussein run from one tent to another tent looking for water, not finding water anywhere, my dear brothers and sisters. Abbas is the hope of Bani Hashim. That is why he was called Khamare Bani Hashim, the moon of Bani Hashim. Abbas was in his character, Abbas in his personality, exactly resembled Imam Ali. And when Abbas was considered to be one of the bravest of the people of that time, and Abbas is the hope of Imam Hussein, but there comes a time when the companions of Imam Hussein have already sacrificed their lives, and the akhroba or the relatives of Imam Hussein are going off quickly, and in fact there is no one left, and Abbas is there by himself, and he approaches Imam Hussein and asks for permission for jihad, so he could go and sacrifice his life for the sake of Allah, protecting the successor of the Prophet, our holy Imam. But Imam Hussein says, "Oh Abbas, you are my commander-in-chief of Abbas, how can I let you go?" To which Imam Hussein, when he says this, Abbas says, "Oh Mawla, oh my brother, please let me go where my companions have already gone." At this point, Imam Hussein knows that Abbas wants to show the bravery and the strength that he has, and he wants to minimize the damage that the enemy could incur on Imam Hussein by killing as many people as possible on the enemy's rank. But Imam Hussein does not allow Abbas to go and fight. But Imam Hussein says, "Oh Abbas, if you want to go, then make sure that you can quench the thirst of the children." And the children come around Abbas, and they bring a water container so that Abbas could bring water from Furat. Abbas takes the mashkiza, and he goes towards the battlefield, and Abbas is saving himself so that he can get to the water and get the water. Abbas does that, and Abbas is able to get the water, but when Abbas is trying to return, the enemy understands if this water reaches the camps of Imam Hussein, there will be another force that is going to emerge, and we will not be able to control and overpower the situation. And therefore Umar ibn Sa'd commands that everybody from all sides attack Abbas, but they do not have the courage to come nearby Abbas and fight, because Abbas has the bravery of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. But there is enemy who hides from behind and attacks Abbas, and there are spears and arrows coming on the face of Abbas, there comes a time when the standard of Islam gets shaking, and Imam Hussein sees that, and his heart is disheartened, and what has happened on the battlefield. On the battlefield, Abbas, one of the hands of Abbas had been severed. One of the enemies of Islam had a sword with which he had severed the arm of Abbas. Abbas takes the standard of Islam into the other hand, and he continues his journey with the maskiza, with the container of water which is filled with water. But another enemy attacks, and now the other arm of Abbas is severed. Abbas does not have either arm, but Abbas is holding this container into his teeth, and he's still progressing towards the camp of Imam Hussein. But there comes a time when Hurmullah fires an arrow to the maskiza, and the water flows away. Abbas realizes there is nothing to take back, and he turns around, and he turns towards the side of the enemy. And when the enemy realizes that Abbas does not possess any hand, everyone comes near Abbas and attacks Abbas. Finally, Abbas comes on the ground. At this point, when Abbas says his last salam, Imam Hussein wants to rise up, but says, Abbas, after you, my back is broken, Abbas. I cannot walk, Abbas. I cannot see, Abbas. Imam Hussein finally arrives near Abbas, only to see that Abbas is filled with blood, but he still has some breath, into which Abbas says to his Mawla, Abbas says to Imam Hussein, oh my Imam, oh my Mawla, there is a wasiya, there is a will that I would like to make. Please do not take my body into the camp. First of all, I would not want you to be troubled. You are by yourself. I don't want you to be troubled taking my body to the camp. And the other reason is, I am very embarrassed with Sakina, the four-year daughter of Imam Hussein, who is waiting in the camp, and the children around her. Oh, children, wait. My uncle Abbas is going to bring water. But Imam Hussein sees Abbas here in the state. And then Imam Hussein, when Abbas dies, takes the alam, the standard bearer of Islam, and saying, Wa Abbasa, Wa Abbasa, arise to the camp. None of the children ask Imam Hussein, since Abbas has not come back, there is no water for them to quench their thirst. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Ibn Rasulullah. Sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun salami yansalam. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. O Allah, we seek your help and we seek the barakah of these nights in which we are commemorating the martyrdom of those who truly loved you, Allah, to give us that fire in our hearts so that we can love you by loving Ahlul Bayt. Guide us towards the path through which we will surely reach you, and that path being only the path of Ahlul Bayt. Hasten the reappearance of our present Imam and make us his true followers. Please recite a Surah Fatiha for all the marhumi.
Oh my Abbas, 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 bravest of us, Abbas, Abbas, where is Abbas, 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 everyone. Oh my Abbas, 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 bravest of us, Abbas, Abbas, where is Abbas, 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 Abbas. Of words that are true, I say this of you. No brother on earth is truer than you. No more could you give, no more could you do. Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. This uncle of mine, so tall and so strong, will soon quench my thirst before long. They say he has died, but they must be wrong. Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. Oh my Abbas, 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 bravest of us. Abbas, Abbas, where is Abbas? Abbas, 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 Abbas. Everyone. Oh my Abbas, 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 bravest of us. Abbas, Abbas, where is Abbas? Abbas, 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 Abbas. Of all those who love, their love is outdone, by the love that you have for Fatima's son. From the day you were born, the blaze had begun. Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. Who else can claim that Imam Hussein wanted no other and called out his name? My back is broken, who else remains? Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. Oh my Abbas, 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 bravest of us. Everyone. Abbas, Abbas, where is Abbas? Abbas, 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 Abbas. Oh my Abbas, 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 bravest of us. Abbas, Abbas, where is Abbas? Abbas, 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 Abbas. The legend still ends. The legends still stand, they speak of a man who charged like a lion and gave his both hands. The legends still end, the legends still stand, they speak of a man who charged like a lion and gave his both hands. You're watching the water, it pours on the sand. Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. Don't tell me of heroes, there's only Abbas, protector of Hussein, the one Ali trusts. They cut him and stabbed him, but he's still with us. Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. Oh my Abbas, 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 bravest of us. Abbas, Abbas, where is Abbas? Abbas, 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 Abbas. Oh my Abbas, 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 bravest of us. Abbas, Abbas, where is Abbas? Abbas, 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 Abbas. Who else can claim that Imam Hussein wanted no other and called out his name? My back is broken, who else remains? Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. Oh my Abbas, 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 bravest of us. Abbas, Abbas, where is Abbas? Abbas, 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 Abbas. Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. Oh my Abbas, 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 bravest of us, Abbas, Abbas, where is Abbas, 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 Abbas. Assalamu alaykum ya Aba Abdullah, wa al-arwah allati hannat bisnaik. عليك مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر الأهل مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام ولك السلام وإليك يعود السلام. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام على الأئمة الهادين المهديين. السلام على جميع أنبياء الله ورسله وملائكته المقربين. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. السلام على علي أمير المؤمنين. السلام على الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة أجمعين. السلام على علي بن الحسين زين العابدين. السلام على محمد بن علي باقر علم النبيين. السلام على جعفر بن محمد الصادق. السلام على موسى بن جعفر الكاظم. السلام على علي بن موسى الرضا. السلام على محمد بن علي الجواد. السلام على علي بن محمد الهادي. السلام على الحسن بن علي الزكي العسكري. السلام على الحجة بن الحسن القائم المهدي صلوات الله عليهم أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات خصوصا حاج ياسين شيخ إن شاء الله شبر علي خان في الزهراء أتاري حاج وعيد حسيني ناظر مرحومين مرحومات إن شاء الله رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة من إخلاص مع الصلوات.